Welcome to Focus on Faith, a program of Christian music, thought and encouragement, presented by the congregation of Parapara'umi Baptist Church. Hi and welcome to worship. Today in the church calendar is the first Sunday in Advent, and this heralds a number of things that are going to happen in our world over the next month or so. It's the start of the silly season. Then Snoopy's Christmas will be played on the radio. Christmas mince pies are going to be in the supermarkets. Then there's all the Christmas sales. And then there's the one that strikes fear into many hearts. What do I buy him or her for Christmas? Consider this. The word Advent and adventure both come from the same Latin word, advenire, meaning to arrive. We hear adventures as exciting events. Last year, when we travelled through the UK, we treated every day, every event, as an adventure. Some were more interesting than others. Falling down the escalator and ending up in Chichester Hospital was certainly an adventure. But adventure carries a sense of positive anticipation, of excitement. But Christmas sales and silliness hides the fact that Advent is the celebration and anticipation of the babe born to be king, the King of Kings, the greatest adventure that humankind could ever undertake. And it starts with the arrival of a baby. So this Advent season, try and see it as an adventure. And maybe you might want to start a life adventure with the King of Kings. So thank you for joining us this morning.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom, and mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
From heaven above.
Join me in karakia and prayer. Lord God, as we start the season of Advent, we thank you for the arrival of your Son, destined to be crowned the King of Kings, your Son who reconciles the creation with its Creator. Lord, hear our words and songs as we celebrate the greatest gift the world has ever received. But Lord, we know for many this season of Advent will not be a time of a celebration, as hunger and sickness, war and violence will be the dominant factors in their lives. And while we earnestly pray for food, for health, for peace, for safety, we acknowledge that part of the solution rests with us, that our generosity at the food bank may result in a decent Christmas dinner for another family, that our contributions to aid agencies can result in healing medicines. But, O God, how do we stop wars generated by power and greed? Father, may they beat their swords into plowshares. Father, we look now to our families and friends as we prepare for Christmas. Give us a sense of anticipation, of celebration, but without the pressure. Help us to discover how to celebrate in ways that strengthen our family bonds, that draw our friends in closer, without having to empty our bank accounts. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you in this season. May we encounter the babe, destined to become the King of Kings. We pray in his holy name. Amen.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us.
quick advert. At PBC, Parapram Baptist Church, we have two children-focused activities. There's mainly music for children aged 0 to 5, plus their mums, dads, grandparents, caregivers, whoever. It's music and movement. And it includes morning tea. Wednesday mornings, 10 a.m. On Sunday morning, we have a program for children. It runs during our service time between 10 and 11 every Sunday. If either of these sound like something you'd like to be part of, go to our website, find the contact method that suits you best, and have a chat to us. If there's a church nearer to you with children's activities, go check them out too. And now back to our service.
Thank you. Tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings. Today, as we heard earlier, is the first Sunday in Advent, when we remember the waiting for the Messiah to come. Listen to these words from the prophets.
Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Isaiah 9:1-7. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world. Micah 5:2-4.
Over the last few weeks, we have been exploring the life of Abraham and the promises made to him and Sarah, which seemed to take forever to happen. These promises found in Isaiah and Micah took not just years, but hundreds of years to be answered. Most biblical scholars agree that by the time we enter the period of the New Testament, nearly 400 years had passed since the last messianic promise had been given by God, and the Messiah still hadn't come. Most of us get pretty frustrated with waiting, especially in our high-tech world. How often do we grumble when our text takes too long to send, or the microwave seems so slow? Sometimes, waiting for something that never seems to happen produces a sense of hopelessness. If it hasn't happened by now, it's never going to happen. So imagine how the people of Israel must have felt after 400 years of nothing, just silence. But not just silence. It was hundreds of years of suffering and occupation by brutal foreign powers, the latest being the Romans. I wonder what thoughts began to rattle around in people's heads. Maybe the powers of the world hold too much power for the Messiah to topple them. Maybe the powers beyond this world hold too much power. Maybe we've sinned too much and we're undeserving. Maybe too much is needed by way of miracles to pull this off. Maybe. You can insert your own idea here. And maybe they began to wonder, Maybe it's all an impossibility. Maybe it will never happen. But then suddenly the 400-year silence was broken. Broken by news from God that the seemingly impossible was becoming a reality. Broken by an angel's message to a young girl named Mary and another angel's message to a man named Joseph. Let's hear them together.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24.
It all seems a strange way to fulfill God's promise to his people of a Messiah. I wonder if Joseph and Mary thought it was possible. I wonder if they thought back to the stories of Abraham and Sarah and how God had given them a child. Despite all the questions and concerns nipping at their heels, Joseph and Mary hung on, believing in the work God said he was going to do. Even when it all seemed impossible, they were faithful. And it begs a question that demands an answer. How on earth were they able to do so? How were they able to hang in there, believing when everything seemed so impossible? Have you seen any episodes of The Chosen? It's a television series that explores the life of Jesus. There's a Christmas episode in there titled Holy Night. Joseph and Mary are making their way to Bethlehem, and they're making their way there because of a census that has been taken by Rome. The scene portrayed is an imagined scene. It's not a scriptural one. But I love how it shows Joseph and Mary hanging in there, also showing all those questions and concerns that we know had to be plaguing them. And if you pay attention, just at the edges of the scene, you can see how they were able to hang on. And how did they do it? How did they hold on to what they had been told? It's so subtly presented by the creators of The Chosen that it's easy to miss the answer to the question we've asked. How did they keep going? because they kept remembering. In the clip, we see Mary going over all the reasons Joseph could have left her, and Joseph purposely points to the heavens and simply says, God told me to. He remembers the one behind all this, God Almighty, and so he hangs in there. And soon after, Mary mirrors this when Joseph says with a sigh, this all seems impossible. And she replies, yes, yes, but remember what the messenger said. Like Joseph, Mary keeps going because she remembers that she'd been called by God himself via his angel, his messengers. And they remember they were heeding the call of the God, a God who had a proven track record of accomplishing the impossible. In the scene I mentioned, Joseph wonders if it is all just impossible, and Mary responds with the words, yes, yes, but remember what the messenger said to me, nothing is impossible with God. These words are a declaration for sure, but hidden within the declaration is an invitation to Mary and Joseph to consider whether or not the declaration is true. It's an invitation for them to remember, to think back through the stories of old and see how God has always been able to accomplish the impossible. People may have begun to think that the Messiah was an impossibility. It will never happen. But here we are invited to remember that God is a God of the impossible and that God will keep the promise made. As we heard at the beginning of our service, we are in the period of the church year known as Advent. And at Advent, we think about the promise of the Messiah and the sense of hopelessness God's people experienced as they waited for a Messiah. Today, we too wait. We wait for the return of Jesus. Paul writes these words to encourage us.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18.
Maybe we hear those words, and like the people of old who waited for the Messiah, we wonder if it will ever happen. Maybe the same doubts rattle around inside our heads. Maybe the powers of the world hold too much power for the Messiah to topple them. Maybe the powers beyond this world hold too much power. Maybe we've sinned too much and we're undeserving. Maybe too much is needed by way of miracles to pull this off. Maybe, maybe. You can insert your own idea here. And maybe we begin to wonder. Maybe it's all an impossibility. Maybe it will never happen. Perhaps now is the time for us to be like Mary, to take God's declaration to her that nothing is impossible for God. It was an invitation to believe, and Mary chose to believe that the promise of God to her was something true. As we enter this time of Advent and we remember the coming of Jesus, may we be reminded that nothing is impossible for God, and that God keeps his promises, and someday, perhaps sooner than we expect, Jesus will return and establish God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.
And all the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has that light shined.
A whakapae, a blessing to close. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
There is boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a king was born today.
And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day.
A shepherd's
tears of joy and laughter.
People shouted, let everyone know there is hope for all to find peace.
Oh my Lord, you sent your son to save us. Oh my Lord, your very self you gave us. Oh my Lord, that sin may not enslave us and love may reign once more.
Oh my Lord,
the voices you heard today were myself, Graham, and Andrew and Xanthia. Our first song was Awesome God by Rich Mullins. Second song was Build Your Kingdom by the Rend Collective. My Hope, Cornerstone, came from the worship team. The Norfolk Baptist Choir and Orchestra gave us For Unto Us a Child Is Born. And we finish Mary's Boy Child from Boney M. Now, if you want to speak to someone, why not contact us? Simply Google Patapataumu Baptist Church and you'll find all the details. If you don't have access to a computer, you can phone us 04-298-7766, 04-298-7766. You can email us and that will come direct to me, office@pb.org.nz. That's office@pb.org.nz, or simply go to Google and type in churches near me and you'll find a whole community of people who'd be happy to talk and help you through this period of time and of life. You've been listening to Focus on Faith, brought to you by the congregation of Patapataumu Baptist. Meet with us again, this time next week. Bye for now.
I made a space for you now. This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.